Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you earn, save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. As a self-confessed tech geek, I am absolutely excited to introduce our special guest today. He's worked for more than four decades in the tech sector, working for brands that you probably haven't heard of, like Microsoft, Apple, IBM. But he's more famously known, I guess, more recently as the CEO of Xero, until he stepped down last May and has now taken on a second career as a leadership coach, as a speaker, and also as the author of a new book called Through Shifts and Shocks, Lessons from the Frontline of Technology and Change, out in November. His name is Steve Vamos. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
So our topic today is very much focused on how do you deal with change, because change is really at the heart of this book. You talk about leadership through the years, but essentially it's about change and how you deal with it and how you grow. But we want to kind of apply all those principles in the field of money management. So are you happy to talk about that and kind of reveal some of the tips and tricks and perhaps pitfalls and the mistakes you've made in the past?
Oh, you bet. You bet. And Michelle, you know, when I talk about change is really behind every agenda, whatever aspirations you have financially for the future, it's a change agenda. It's about the actions you take to achieve the aspirations you have.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm sure anyone who's listening to this, they're probably thinking, Michelle, let's get on to the question I want to ask. How rich is Steve, or how does he spend his money? But before we do that, if you stick around, we might just touch that topic. So, Steve, in your book, you talked about your five must-dos, and I'll just quickly go through that. Must-do number four, seek clarity. Number five, drive alignment. Number six, focus on performance. Number seven, have difficult conversations. And number eight, make hard choices. So let's go through that and unpack those principles. Number one, seek clarity. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so these principles that we're going to touch on are all about how you drive change. And changing something is not like going from A to B directly. It's like sailing. You are tacking back and forth based on changes in conditions around you. But the first place to start is with a sense of clarity of what you're trying to accomplish. What are your priorities? And getting clear on your priorities is really important, because if you don't, you end up doing a little bit of everything rather than really being focused around the things that are most important. So with your financial goals and aspirations, being really clear about how that, whatever that aspiration or ambition or goal is for you, is really important. And then being able to indicate to yourself and others that are very close to you and your family what it is you're going to do to achieve it, your priorities, is really important. Now, over time, you might come back and revisit it, but in the moment, being as clear as you can be, understanding it's not absolute, is really important.
I know. It sounds so obvious, but people don't really articulate what it is that they want. They might have this kind of nebulous idea of course, I want to be financially comfortable, but what is that? Is that $2 million in your bank account? Is it a house and a shares portfolio? One of the very useful things that someone shared with me in a previous episode is name your ideal salary. It, rather than you just go through the winds of time and you go from, let's say, 70K, and then by the stroke of luck, you could reach 250K and upwards. So 250K is really less than 2% of the Australian population. So that's kind of the penultimate for a lot of ordinary people. Do you think you need to be specific like that? Like, pin a number to that goal?
I think you have to be specific, yes. I think you have to be clear about what your objective is, whether it's for the next 12 months, whether it's 3 to 5 years. I've always had a kind of 5-year view of what I wanted to accomplish. And certainly as I've got older and realized the benefit of being clear, I've documented each year what it is I want to accomplish, not just financially, but also in other aspects of my life. So being intentional, writing it down, and we'll talk about holding yourself accountable later, is really important.
All right. Next up, drive alignment. This is very powerful in the corporate world, but how would you explain that in terms of personal finance?
Yeah, look, I think that we as people are pretty good at setting ourselves, you know, aspirations and objectives, right? We all have this idea of what we want to accomplish. I think we also know what we do every day. We know where our time is being spent if we just take enough time to pause and reflect on it. Alignment is often the missing link. You set a goal, but your actions during the day don't align with it. So alignment means being very, very clear and conscious about what has to happen today for me to be on track to achieve that objective. And that's why I call it out specifically, because it's often missing in, you know, whatever aspiration you have. If you're not aligning your actions with the goals you have, you'll just keep doing what you're doing, or you'll just forget to do the things that are important to achieving that goal.
Let's say, for example, someone earns a weekly wage of $1,200, and you say to yourself, if I save $200, that might mean I have at least $4,000 by the end of the year. How do you drive the alignment from that weekly goal to your five-year goal?
So that alignment would come from analyzing where you're spending your money today. How does that relate to your objective? And then what are the specific actions you're going to implement to achieve the goal? So it could be, today I buy two coffees a day. I'm going to now limit that to one coffee a day. I might go out two or three times a week. I'm only going to go out once or twice a week. So it's being explicit about the change in your behavior, the actions you take that are supporting achieving that goal. And you ought to be able to work that out in maths. You know, it's a mathematical equation.
Must-do number six, focus on performance. I really like this one. How would you explain that?
Look, the way I explain it is that this is the check-in. So we've set we're clear about our objectives. We've aligned our actions. How are we actually going? Something I really believe in, I think is valuable, is to create a little matrix, which has on it the list of things you've committed yourself to do that align your actions with your clear objective. And then every day, tick off how many of those you achieve and set yourself a compliance level. I always give myself a bit of a break.
Yeah.
So that if I do, if I'm consistent with my actions, you know, that I intend to take 85% of the time, then that's good enough. So this can apply, for example, to how you live your life from a health perspective and saying, I don't want to drink alcohol every day. I only want to do that once or twice a week. I don't want to eat too much sugar. Those things, if you put it into a matrix and you track it, at the end of each week, and by the way, you get a bit of a kick out of ticking that box. It's like a reward for your effort or sacrifice. So it's really about checking in, how am I going? And that's important because it may well be that for good reason, things have happened that require you to adjust your aspiration. Or experience has shown you that those actions that I committed to when I aligned myself with that goal, they're not achievable, or I've learned something about them that will change them. So remember the analogy of sailing. It's clear, aligned performance review, and you keep going around in that circle until you achieve, obviously, clarity and alignment that is on its way to where you want to go.
I have this idea that a lot of people, this is the missing link. A lot of people say, hey, I'm not going to drink that cup of coffee. I'm not going to buy that cup of coffee, but they don't actually check themselves. So there's no accountability there. And just pausing on this idea of accountability, I think is very powerful.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's where it generally goes wrong, is that we have aspirations for ourselves in a whole range of different domains of our lives, and our actions just don't follow them because we're not, first of all, clear in what that means, but then we don't track it and we don't hold ourselves accountable. You can ask somebody else to hold you accountable too. Get someone to help coach you or advise you that can be honest in the conversation with you about whether you're doing the things you said you intended to do. That's why I do like the matrix, because I've written it down, I'm ticking every day, and I can see how I'm going against what I said I would do.
Oh my goodness. I'll have a very poor scorecard if I do a matrix, but I'm going to give it a shot. Must do number 7 in your book, have difficult conversations. This is very hard for a lot of people, especially when it comes to money. So how do we do this? What are the management tools you think that we could apply here?
Getting clarity, alignment, and reviewing performance all involve difficult conversations. Because, for example, prioritizing things that you want to spend money on, that might require a conversation with your partner or others about the fact that even as simple as, I'm not going to go on holiday with my friends this year because it's more important for me to save. That conversation with your friends is not an easy one because we all know what they're going to say. So having difficult conversations is also key to alignment and performance review. Like, performance focus doesn't come without being honest and having a direct conversation. Here's how I go about it, because I do think being able to have difficult conversations is a really critical skill. First of all, you have to be clear about the context for a difficult conversation. You've got to be able to understand who it is you're having it with, where they're coming from, and what different reactions to it might be. So the way to handle this is to ask questions. Make sure you ask a lot of questions. Any questions on your mind have got to be front and forefront of the conversation. So before you have the difficult conversation, you launch in, make sure you ask the right questions. The second thing is care. You've got to care about the people you're having the conversation with. Now, there's a great saying, if you want people to think you care, you have to care. So if you're going to make a decision or a choice or take an action that's going to impact on somebody, you have to genuinely care about the impact on them and bring that very much into the way you approach the conversation. And that's about being sensitive towards them, demonstrating your empathy for the fact that your decision, which might be important to your financial plan, has a negative impact on them. And then the final one is just have the courage to do it, because each time you do it, you realize that by having that difficult conversation, you're more clear, more aligned, and on your path to where you want to go. And you're no longer kidding yourself and other people that, for instance, you can have that holiday or go out to dinner every time you're asked and save the amount of money that you want to save.
Definitely. I mean, for me, it's about setting healthy financial boundaries. So, for example, if a friend of mine wants to borrow money, there's a perception of, hey, Michelle looks okay, maybe she can lend me this. And then they'll do it again. And then they'll do it again. And suddenly I feel like, yes, I'd like to help, but is this really aligned with my own values? Is this really aligned with what I want to do? Like, I want you to be self-sufficient. I want you to be independent. Am I doing the right thing? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And in that particular situation, you know, really understanding why the person needs help is important and demonstrating you care about them. But ultimately, you have to be able to explain and say, look, I care about you and I'd like to help you, but I can't because of the priorities that I've set for myself.
And how does it feel at the other end of that conversation? I know that in the book you mentioned about being part of a huge tech company and you've had to do massive layoffs, for example. How does it feel so that our listener can say, okay, Michelle, I may need to have that difficult conversation about money, but what does it look like at the other end of that conversation if I stuff it up? Because you say, ask questions, but life is not perfect. We just don't know how to do it. We're ill-equipped to ask those questions.
Yeah, it's the reality is that this does not go beautifully every time. What you'll find most of the time when you front into a difficult conversation with someone, that they will respond in a positive way to the fact that you've been honest and direct with them. But there'll be people who'll be upset with you. And it comes down to realizing that for you to achieve your objectives, you do have to have that difficult conversation and make that choice.
All right. You talked about choice. We're saving the best for last, and that is making hard choices. Hard choices for me could mean, I really don't know how to invest, but I'm going to take the leap and I'm going to learn how to invest. Because a lot of our listeners there, they're probably sitting on some savings, but they're just so afraid. So that's one hard choice in the positive light.
Yes.
Then there are hard choices in the negative light. Can you share your own experiences there?
Look, with hard choices really come down often to prioritization. So it goes back to what we were talking about before, which is to achieve your financial goal, you will have to say no to doing things that you would otherwise love to do. And it's a choice between that short-term benefit versus the longer-term outcome that you're looking for. It's a really powerful and important thing to be able to front in and make those choices and feel good about them. I'll never forget during my time at Apple, Steve Jobs came back as interim CEO, and the one thing he did to save the company, amongst many others around innovation, but this one was really just cut 75% of the product line and focus on a few products that were most important, being the Macintosh. So, and that paid massive dividends, even though in the short term, it caused a lot of pain for a lot of software developers who were developing on some of the products that were terminated in the product range. So you've got to make a choice in your life. You can do a little bit of everything and not do anything really well, or you can really put your efforts behind fewer things. And that prioritization and focus means saying no, making tough choices.
Well said. On a personal finance level, I just want to throw this statistic that I got from Finder. On average, a typical Aussie will save $300 a month. So that's $3,000 a month. And so I'm throwing that question out there. How much are you saving? Are you saving the average, or are you planning to save more? So that's the question.
Well, look, that's a really interesting way to look at it. Look, if I look at my journey over the many years of work, I'd say my journey started out like most people, where you've got more and plenty of reasons to spend all your money. And you try to raise a family, buy a house. And it was many years before I got to a position where I had surplus funds to invest. And then I had to learn that there's a real discipline in managing, not just getting to that position, which we've talked about already, but a real discipline in making sure that you're investing wisely and also managing your investments wisely. I invested in startups a few years ago, and I paid a lot of money for what I call my degree in startup investing. And the big thing I learned was...
That was your investment in your startups education.
Well, you know, I now have a much, much more astute way of approaching the question of would you invest in our startup? The interesting thing about it is that the key message is you need to have good people around you that are professional when it comes to investing in some of these, let's call it more discretionary pathways. In terms of where I'm at today, look, I'm not sure I'm really saving a lot of money because I finished up my last role at Xero, as you said earlier, in May, and I've been taking time out to travel a lot, write my book, and spend time with family. So I think I'm in a kind of cash negative cash flow at the moment, but I definitely certainly value the learning and experience I've had that has taught me that you have to have the discipline and get people who know what they're doing to invest your money for you.
Well, I must say there is a difference between someone who is cash negative and someone who is wealthy. I think you are incredibly wealthy, having all that experience throughout your career, and now you're paying it forward through this book, which I highly recommend, Through Shifts and Shocks, Lessons from the Frontline of Technology and Change. I've read it. It focuses a lot on people and how you can lead despite disruption. So it's perfect for any of you out there who's thinking about starting your own business, or you've been promoted to a very senior role within a big company, or just in general, how you face change. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.
So that's it for this episode. But if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, please share it with your friends and family. Do you have a finance question you'd like us to cover? Drop us a line on podcast@moneymag.com.au. Until next, I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.